his wildlife with my mom. I mean, I'm German. Okay, no. This is wildlife with my mom.
Okay, looks good.
Wonderful.
Nice.
Nice.
How do I pronounce your last name?
It's Bora.
Bora. Okay.
Yeah.
I will try to say it like that. So I will not introduce you. I will give you the time and space to introduce yourself because I think you are way better in introducing yourself than me. And I hate it when people are on a podcast and they're like introduced and I still don't get what they are doing. So I figured out I don't want to be that person like introducing people so weirdly. So I will just tell that I'm super inspired by your work and then
So I'm just a normal human being who is a psychotherapist. I've been in this role for quite some time, for about 20 years, and later in the past 5 years transformed them more into transformational therapy because education is a big topic here. So as we know, the institutions don't really train us as much as we would like them to. And it's just basically a piece of paper that you have to jump through the hoops to be able to have a licensure, to be able to practice in certain countries and certain states. And so I jumped through these hoops twice because the first time, I did it. I was working for Girls and Boys Town. This was in New York, in connection with the Department of Juvenile Justice. And then I forgot to do my paperwork, and they didn't grandfather me in, so I had to do another master's and spend more money and do another 3,000 hours of free work. And then spend a lot of money to do additional training, which I actually loved. So jumping through these hoops, honestly, except for a few professors, except for a few experiences and resources, because it was first time I was Teachers College, Columbia University, and it felt like a big thing. For me, it was just, I kind of stumbled upon it, and it felt like a right thing to apply to. And I got in, and the second time was Mercy College because it was less expensive. So I wouldn't do this again. I would do it in a different way. I would do it in a sort of out of the box kind of thinking where even in Europe, that path would have been easier because that wouldn't be as much cost. But I still think that the traditional way of learning is just a lot of theory and a lot of regurgitation and not enough hands-on. You kind of repeat others' work. And even when you write these research papers, I'm passing past the introduction, but I'm traditionally trained psychotherapist that later on just sort of studied other modalities and studied outside of those modalities because I was taking my clients out of suffering, out of trauma, and then they were bored. So I started looking into law of attraction and into creation of what kind of life would you like to, because that was something that was never asked of them. It was more about how am I going to get from day to day? And that's not part of traditional psychotherapy. Quantum jumping, all of these metaphysical concepts and meditation and spirituality and transcendental psychotherapy and, spiral dynamics, a lot of things that I just became really interested in and self-taught myself. And I started utilizing that in my therapy. And that's actually really fun. And a lot of my clients just sort of, they don't even have trauma. They come to just do a little sort of a hygiene, a massage, It's let's tune up the vibrational frequency of how we can continuously create, co-create the reality that we would like to create. So I'm, that's my favorite, to be honest with you. It's more of a, like, a, I guess you would consider it coaching, but coaching, and also with not just, you know, sometimes a lot of times when they don't know, I help them develop like the connection to their intuitive inner voice that guides them and, you know, and allows them to propel, to just get in touch with their soul. Because no one really ever asked us before, what is it that our essence, you know, who we truly are, wants to do. And from the traditional modalities, my favorite is internal family systems. And it's, I, you know, it's developed by Richard Schwartz, who I think he, someone was saying he possibly cleaned up Hakimo. There's another modality that is very spiritual, and he turned it more into an academic language to help the academics sort of be open, I guess, intellectually open to the connection with their soul. He calls it the self with capital S. And you basically, the role is to facilitate the process of self, two parts, the ego parts connection. Because we all have parts. We have parts that can get angry, parts that, you know, can get sad, and our essence never dies, really. So the merging, the marriage of the two, the human and the divine, and the divinity within the human, is a fun interplay. So love playing with that too. So that's, I'm also a mom, and what else?
You're into Bitcoin?
Into Bitcoin, yeah, love Bitcoin. I think that's a beautiful sovereignty path to freedom, at least in the transitional stage. I really do think at some point vibrationally will be somehow, I don't know how, but I'm through meditation, I keep on getting these messages that it's going to be all about frequency and the true unconditional love and the intentions that we hold. And that's how transaction can be eventually, that's going to be completely foolproof, agenda proof, you know, like, so there's no agenda, where you can just truly exchange from the heart and from your knowing and from your love of the skill of whatever you came here to do. And yeah, so I think that's where we're heading eventually. In the process between now and that amazing sort of reality of higher vibration, Bitcoin is just such a beautiful, beautiful tool to get us there at some, you know. So yeah, Bitcoin is definitely amazing. This is something my husband actually introduced me to, because I was a little resistant towards money. I was one of those people that was just like, I just wanted to meditate in the Himalayas and be disconnected from reality of this world. Yeah, so
I love it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, this was a little disorganized introduction. I'm not used to introducing myself. I usually just listen to people.
We can, I really enjoyed it, to be honest.
Okay, wonderful.
We could just have a podcast where you go on introducing yourself, and we can have a second episode where I ask one question. No, I really enjoy it, to be honest, because you said so, you have so many different topics I align with so much, and it such a resonance. I really love everything, so I don't know where to start. Maybe the most important thing for me in my life is regarding kids and unschooling and all of this is always, I was ripped of the opportunity to really listen to my own soul. I knew it as a kid. I always knew what my plan was, what I needed to do on this planet, and people told me no. So basically, when I was done with school and 10 years of studying and being a mom and everything, I really discovered through my child that I'm not crazy. We have a soul, and we need to follow our plan and everything. So then I think I gathered the courage to really do it. And I'm still not one, let's say 90% there to really accept and know what it is. So there's a little tiny part in me that is still like a little matrix thinking, you know, like, maybe it's just a dream. So I think what you just said, that people never really have the chance to listen to their soul, to even recognize what they're here for, and that nobody talks about it, basically. I mean, there are a lot of people talking about it, but the majority of people are not even aware that this is a topic. If I'm with my family and I'm like, oh, my soul path, they're like, what the fuck is that? And they think I'm the crazy one. I really think it's beautiful that more and more people are into it, discovering what their soul path is. So maybe let's talk a little bit about that, because I really think that most type of schools don't want us to explore our soul path at all. And there are great schools out there. I don't want to say that. So, and you have people in your everyday life that really want to be at the point where they are finally able to, I don't know, research themselves. Is it something you can say? I feel like I'm researching myself. I don't know when I'm talking about soul stuff. So I really like that. Maybe you can tell me a bit about that, because this is my number one topic.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it really resonates. I'm getting chills as you were talking about this. It's you know, for I think the way I see it is that first and foremost we are soul. And we are soul essence, and internal family systems, it's defined and with specific qualities that, like, that ultimately we have, you know, the compassion, the calm, the curiosity, the creativity, the courage, playfulness, you know, perseverance, patience. Those qualities are really ultimately qualities of each and single one of us. We all are that. Ultimately, we're not broken. This is really who we are from the get-go. And that natural, I've done a lot. I've had near-death experiences, one really major one. I've had a training in past life regression therapy. I've healed ulcerative colitis that really nearly killed me and, like, led me to a heart surgery through that kind of work. And it was actually New German medicine that led me to the discovery of the ultimate reason why my body was attacking itself. You know, ulcerative colitis is an autoimmune, and I've struggled with that for 10 years. And there was no genetic component. And when I was doing the session with a practitioner, I was like, just stumbled on, in Poland, there's a very popular modality called Totalna Biologia, which translates to a recall healing. It's a buildup on New German medicine and an evolution in a way where Dr. Renaud, a French doctor, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly, he built up on it and added, like, generational trauma and past life trauma. So and I was always open to this past life thing, and just, you know, just being led to discover that my soul. So the digestion problems in the New German medicine are basically like bite conflicts. They're indigestible morsel conflict. That's the theme. So there was something in my psyche that I couldn't digest, and my soul couldn't digest, really. And I think ultimately when I sat with it and through meditation and through these sessions, I realized that from the get-go, when I was born, I had a very strong challenge to fit into the system and this world and the world of polarity, the fact that people would fight and have agendas and take advantage of each other and cause pain to one another, and there were wars and all of that, was really painful to me. And even as a kid, it was like, why can't we just love one another? And as a teenager, I remember I said that, and people just looked at me and said, you're so naive. This is not what this world is about. And I said, well, I don't know if this is the kind of world. I don't want to live in this kind of world, right? Like, if this is what this world is not about, like, what is it about? Is it, you know, it's almost like we just enter this matrix and then we're, like, injected with so much poison. and it's supposed to protect us. I mean, but like when you do the deep research, you realize, you know, there's so much there that shouldn't be there, aluminum and mercury and a lot of questionable ingredients that I don't know, I don't think should be injected in a tiny little baby. So then we're, you know, we're institutionalized through school systems. And then we're just sort of like, okay, now you have to make money. So you have to train in a certain profession. And this is, it's all about survival. And this is how everyone does it. So dare not to question, right? But my soul would question all the time. And I just couldn't. Like I can do, you know, my parents wanted me to be a doctor. And I said, physical pain, I just have too much compassion for physical pain. I would feel people's pain. It was like a, like I literally felt their broken bones. I felt it was just too much. So I didn't want to prescribe meds. I was like, no, I don't want to go that route. But I said, I do want to do psychotherapy, because I remember in during childhood when we were free range children in a way in Poland. And I'm sure like maybe in Germany was similar. We were just sort of, okay, you guys go out and play, and no one really supervised us. And we came up with our own fun playtime. And sometimes on the weekends, like, our parents had no idea where we were, and we were bicycling or riding wild horses. and that one of my favorite activities was to construct a theater play based on someone's like issues, and then do like, it was basically play therapy, and they would just express themselves and let go of the pain. Once in a while, a parent would show up, or someone, you know, one of the boys with a little flower who had a crush on one of the little girls, and I would help them to process the trauma. And then I really didn't think about it in terms of processing, but I just wanted them to be happier. So I felt like I was called towards doing therapy. And I would follow this path, and everyone looked at me really strangely, because in Poland, therapy, psychotherapy was only for the people, like working with people who are really, who have lost it completely. And, you know, the path was traditionally to be an engineer or to be a lawyer or to be a doctor, to make it in this world. And, you know, everyone's like, you have so much potential. You're such a good student. Because things would come easy to me. I figured out the system really easily, and I would just like jump through the hoops. But I didn't feel alignment. I didn't feel like this brought me joy. You know, there's just so many things. So when I finally, just going back to the story of the new German medicine, when I said with indigestible morsel, it did take me back to a past life where I was a Native American woman with a baby, and saw myself as like people, white people coming to kill us, and crying hysterically, like, what do we do wrong? We were so sacred with each other, with the plants, with the animals. And then the answer that came right afterwards is because you saw them as other. So that was like ultimately a beautiful lesson, that there's no otherness in consciousness. You know, consciousness is all interconnected, in that I don't need to fight with it. I don't need to fight with the system. I don't need to, my soul doesn't have to struggle here. And I said, well, then ultimately I started asking myself, so why am I here? And the answer that came, you know, when you sit with these, and when you finally realize, like, what is it? The opposition, the fighting, the hating on, the cause the illness. And then when I finally let go, so, okay, if I'm not here to fight this system, what am I here to do? And the answer came as to, I'm here to create a new world. I'm here to create heaven on earth. And then the other question is, well, how do I do that? And then I realized it is vibrationally. It is ultimately about cleaning up. Ken Weber talks a lot about that, cleaning up, growing up, like putting yourself in the other person's shoes, but not rescuing. That's like, I also realized that I was playing a lot of like through the therapist role, that eventually sort of recently I had to take a little bit of a break because I felt burned out, but because I was doing a lot of even internal family system, it's ultimately yourself. But there was also these therapy hats. And I really felt like I have to rescue people who are not awake, who are not questioning the system. I have to somehow get them out of this and show them a different path. And there was this whole thing of like this interplay of the victim and the rescuer, and then in the past life, some sort of perpetrator. And we keep on reincarnating. This is what the message through meditation, being intertwined and being caught in that web of these three roles, you know? So I said, okay, well, again, talking to my soul and listening while sitting still and being clear. And I heard, well, you can be an observer. That's a good idea. And that's a lot of Buddhists do that through meditation. But then what's more fun than that? You came here for a different reason. Like, yeah, life is actually a gift. Being on the planet Earth is a gift. Why not be a co-creator? Like really just sort of without attachment, like what would you like to experience in this world and feel that as if it's already here, you know? And that in itself, it's like the embodiment of that frequency. So life started showing me that, my soul started showing me that it's ultimately everything is first and foremost vibration. Then it becomes more for like sound, right? It's sound. It's the sound of and the frequency, and then it becomes form, and then this form repeated, you know, enough times to become a habit, starts forming an actual structure, and I started finding a lot of people that were resonating on the same, understood this, and were able to. You know, we're sort of like, this is like, just focus on what the outcome, focus on what we want. I was really drawn to channelers who talked about the law of vibration, the law of attraction. Recently, there was also a new realization of like, we're not alone. We have so many, even though we have our own versions of multidimensional aspects of ourselves, and we can ask them, those versions, to help us. So there's an amazing book that I came across, and it's so easy, called Hiring the Heavens. And you just hire your team, your committee, depending on what it is that you want to focus on, and the specialists, because they are beings that transitioned, and they are still in their soul form, but they're not in a physical form. And they're out there waiting to be hired. They've had these expertise in this 3D reality of planet Earth. And they are so eager to help you from beyond. I can actually hear them sometimes, like, really excited, because there's always free will. Unless you ask, they don't come in and help. So it's been a fun journey just to, like, listening deeper and deeper and being more in alignment with my soul. And I know when I'm in alignment, when my mind is in alignment, I would rather say, because we're so, you know, our education makes us think so much. I think, therefore I am. And it's not true. I am. I am first and foremost, I am. And then my brain thinks. And then, you know, if we can combine, not to say that this tool, the head, is not the brain is not a good tool, because it is. I mean, in Bitcoin, we wouldn't have all these structures and the amazing technological advances if it wasn't for the brain. But if we can, I feel like we can do so much more magic if we can combine the brain with the heart and our gut and our womb. For women, recently I'm also realizing that there was this amazing hidden wisdom of the Mary Magdalene, the womb wisdom, and like birthing through the womb, birthing through the existence, the interplay of the divine feminine and the masculine, and how we can all it combined the logic and the intuition. And I really do think, like, Einstein, for example, would use both. He talked a lot about imagination and intuition, and maybe intuition, but imagination in itself, that's what creates worlds, really. Like, we create with our imagination, and we're always creating. Most of us are not aware of that fact that we're creating, but we are creating with our thoughts, and we're creating with our words, and our vibration, our emotions, and, you know, that gives it fuel. And most of us are so unconscious of that, you know? Soul is, you know, just like my dream world would be to, you know, to create that sort of, I started doing it with like these two French ladies, and the whole thing was called soul learning. But it turned out to be a little bit of a, unfortunately, an agenda where I was kind of asked to sort of translate someone else's work. And I love to co-create, but I don't like to replicate, especially if it's not aligning. But that sort of soul leading from the soul and allowing the person to have their own version, because we're all interconnected, but at the same time, we're also divinely unique, you know, and like with different ice cream flavors, so to speak, you know. It's like none is the same as the other, and it's so special. Like there's no need for competition, because, you know, like our blueprints are so different, and those flavors, some will like this, some will like that, some will like both, you know. There's just we're all of such an amazing, it's like the flowers don't compare each other, you know, as themselves to others, and they're not competing with each other. So it's like this beautiful world where everyone is honored. And just like, well, what do you think? Like with even the Socratic questions, you know, what do you feel would be the best next step? Developing those like the inner trust of like, what feels good to you? What feels good? Because if it feels good to you, it's like, especially for children, it's like they're not, they can be selfish, but they're not out there to ultimately continuously hurt another, you know? And so they wouldn't do something, how feels good to hit someone else all the time, right? They might be angry in that moment and express themselves. We can teach you that, but like, did that feel good? Would that feel good to you? You know, and you can shape that. But ultimately, what really feels good, like in your heart and in your belly, like, and the whole body feels tingly and excited. And it's there's like a light that shows up in your eyes, and you just feel so joyful or just curious. Like this is, yeah, the curiosity is one of the, I think, one of the keys for the language of the soul, curiosity and creativity, you know, those language like art and music, and not regurgitating anyone else's music or anyone else's art or having it specifically this form or another, but just really allowing yourself to flow without a desire for an outcome, without a desire of like having just for the sake of expression of the essence of the soul. You know, so we came here to express ourselves through the physical, because we can't do that as souls, right? We can't, we're so, like, we can't taste, we can't see color, we can't touch, we can't use our hands, we can't, we don't have all these emotions as a soul, because it's just pure love and light, which is amazing. But I think, you know, like, through the physical, we can have this range of emotions. We can learn how to work with these emotions. There's certain emotions that have are on the higher vibrational scale. We can help to transform the other ones while being allowed to express whatever is expressing without judgment, but tasting the flavors of these emotions without suppression, then eventually calibrating up to a higher emotion, or at least to peace. I feel like peace is like the ultimate a non-attached state where you can create fun things. So like balancing back to peace. But yeah, soul-led, education being soul-led and your whole life being soul-led. And the mind always kicks in and says, well, how does that make money? But why do we need to, like, who? I feel like if you do things out of love and you do things that bring you joy, it's like the whole ikikai, you know, like you do it well, you do it well because you love it. And it is of service to humanity, because even with like, if you paint this beautiful painting, right, and someone looks at it, is moved by it, like, wow, what a gift, right? They've been moved by this amazing art form. Something shifted inside. That's a gift. And, you know, then obviously the whole value for value comes through. And like, and if the person's soul is touched and moved, it's inevitable that there's that sort of like, oh, I want to give back. I want to show gratitude, right? I want to somehow, like for me, always like when someone moves me so deeply, It's like a natural inclination to just want to give back. And it doesn't always have to be financial, you know, it could just be emotional or a gift from my heart and my soul or something, or, you know, so there can be many different forms. And I feel like that's the kind of world that would be amazing to live in, you know, if we were all soul-led and we really had a chance to explore that from the beginning. But we still can, and our children can, and, you know, and you're letting, you're like, I'm so in awe of what you're doing, because you're completely unschooling and letting them being soul-led, which is so beautiful, like just having that chance to discover, like, what do I want? What do I like? What makes me tick? What brings me joy? You know, just exploring that curiosity is just such a gift. I'm like so grateful for people like you. It just brings so much hope, you know? So thank you. Sorry, long answer again.
I almost cried. Thank you so much, first of all. That's really nice to hear. And it's crazy what you said about that you are here to create heaven on earth. That is, I had like a tickling sensation. And I know when something is true, because my hair on my arms, they just react in a certain way. I have like waves for different answers, let's say like that. And I was like, dude, she's so right. She's on her way. I love it. So you are the inspiration, to be honest, really. I love that you're so clear about it.
Yeah, your hair is standing up and your recognition and these are your signs is listening to your soul. You're doing it.
Yeah. So nice. I wanted to ask you something about past lives, because I was, as a kid, I was always 100% convinced that I wasn't asked to be on this planet. I knew that I was here before, and I was so angry with my whole family that they dragged me here and I didn't want to be here. And I always told them when they wanted something from me, like easy stuff, please go shopping, we need cheese or something. I was like, I wasn't even asked to be alive. I don't want to do any of this. And I was really convinced until, I don't know, I gave it up someday, because people were always telling me, you cannot come here again if you don't want to. And I was like, maybe it was a mistake. Maybe I'm the first soul that came here again, didn't want to come joining the party. I don't know. Now I feel very grateful to be alive, but it was like at least 25 years of misery of being here. I was really angry and really, also I know I had a soul path to go. I was also so angry to be here again. It was real. My whole childhood, that was my number one argument. If somebody wanted something from me, dude, you never asked me if I wanted to be part of this. Now I am. And now I have to do stuff on top. Hilarious. So, and I always wanted to really have someone who I can explore past lives with. And I really have trust issues. So it had to be a person that really is on the same vibrational frequency like I am. I think I found you, and now I'm really into it. And maybe this is, I will put this on my bucket list for this year. To start that with you, because I really think I will write it down, past lives with Monica, because I really think it's super interesting. And here on this island where I live, the hippie community is like, yeah, it's happening all at once. It doesn't matter who you were before, because there's no before. It's all the same time. Might be, but it's interesting to go back, because as a kid, I had flashbacks to stuff I would be doing. And then I remembered, oh, I'm not Jürgen, I'm Alex. Or something like this, you know, and I felt like an old man sometimes. And then I looked in the mirror, oh, I'm a girl, and I was maybe 7 years old, and I felt like a really old man sometimes. And I walked around like really convinced I'm an old man, and then it came back to me, oh, now I'm a girl. Okay. So when I grew older, that went away, and I didn't have that. And my child, when he was quite young, people were telling me, like, when they're young, they will remember. Ask him about it. And I never asked, because I felt like if you want to share, he's gonna share. And he had one story that was so horrible that I was like, okay, dude, I don't want to mingle with the past lives anymore. One time he was telling me that my sister was his sister, I was the mom, and we were on a lake, and I know which lake he meant. And she died, she drowned. And I was like, oh my God, it was true. I knew it because she's still like my child. She's younger than me and she's still my baby. And it's really crazy because when she was born, I felt like her mom, and I told my mom, oh, she's beautiful, isn't she? And my mom's like, but it's mine. I was like, okay, no hard feelings, it's yours. Keep it for yourself. And the other story by my child was that he was somewhere and a man murdered him, and he was very young still, and I was his mom again. And I was like, dude, okay, whatever that was. I wasn't ready for it because life itself was so overwhelming at that point that I was just, okay, it's true that you have past lives and it's true that you can access them. And here the story ends. And I was swearing to myself, when I finally have the room to really look into it, I will find my perfect fit to do it with. Maybe that's you. And I really think that's so interesting. So what do you think about this? Yeah, it doesn't matter what happened in past lives because there's no such thing as past life because it's all happening at once. I think that is beautiful. And I think part of it is true, but still as humanity, we have a very linear way of perceiving what happens on this planet. So even if I'm all of my past lives right now, it is still in the past, even if it's right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Well, yeah, you're right. Because I think the past, the actual languaging, the calling it past life, appears to the mind as the past, but it is most likely happening simultaneously. And that's why how we are all interconnected, which is like really beautiful to realize, like, wow, I'm you, you are me. And like, we're one expressing itself through like a divine, unique expression. The reason I got into past life is because of like the parts that would show up. And there were incidences where I would let's say, you know, we traveled, there was a whole travel around Europe, and I remember our bus broke down in Sevilla, and I just like Spanish would come easy to me. And I found like we went for lunch and then we got lost. And I just sort of like intuitively let them back. And everyone's like, how did you know? And I'm like, this feels like home. Africa, like I've never been to Africa, but African beating, drum beating, had these flashbacks of like dancing tribally around the fire. Always really strong, like Native American culture and like shamanism and all of that felt really, really strong. The guides I've met, one of them is a shamanic woman who's very silent, but she sort of transmits her wisdom telepathically. And and then like I think we have like the future self. So there's like one of my guides is like a Lemurian being, blue being, and you know, he's like it's like a Lemuria resonates with me a lot because of the heart wisdom and the openness and the love and the kindness. And I, you know, I realized that they sort of, that it's a combination. You can't go in extreme heart and then no brain. You kind of have to have the balance. This was Atlantis, you know, whoever survived Lemuria went on to Atlantis, and they were more logical, but then became too logical. And then the hubris kicked in. Combination of both is helpful. So you learn a lot from the different versions of yourself. And like if it comes up and you just sort of like, I usually ask to go to the source of it, and this thing pops up. And I don't know if it's honesty, to be honest with you, I have no idea if it's true or if my mind has this wild imagination. But I remember when my son was about 3 and I was bathing him, and then he's like, you know, mommy, you know, I chose my eyes, I chose my nose, I chose my ears, I chose my hair, I chose you, I chose daddy. And I said, you did? That's amazing. I said, where did you come from? And he goes, He didn't say it Uranus, he said Uranus, and I started laughing because it felt like he was coming out from, you know, that part of the body when I was birthing him. It was a natural birth, you know. So it was, although now I'm hearing that it doesn't have to be painful at all, like it's all such a, you know, I was preparing to it through like the Bradley method and hypnotherapy. Now I feel like even like, you know, there's so many people now talking about birth being an ecstatic experience, which is so wonderful and promising to the future generations to come. But you know, and like very consciously birthing consciousness into life, you know, with two awakened parents who, you know, who've done like, who are done the work in the physical, emotional, spiritual. But going back to the past lives, yeah, so he's like they used to charge us up. That's why I have so much energy. And he's like, yeah, I'm not from this planet. And the amazing experiences during the training when we had this, I had this one of my first people I experimented on was one of the students, because we practiced on each other. She was a psychiatrist from Australia, and she had this whole issue with money. And the whole thing was like, I don't want to have too much money. And so, you know, you bring the person into a theta state and then sort of like, well, go to the root of it. And she describes the entire scene of like the death of the czar, one of the czars, the Russian czars, when like, and she was Olga. So this whole thing, I looked it up. It was exactly as she described. And she had no idea about this history. She never researched it before. Her mind never knew about it. She like used Russian words. And then I said, well, then you move to the scene of death and you move into the time, like you just meet your counsel and what do you see there? What is the message? You know, and she's like, okay, can I just go home? And I had a supervisor next to me. He's like, yeah, sure, show us where your home is. So she's like, I'm flying through these galaxies and this amazing, like beautiful, like planets. And I'm in the city of light. She's like, that's my home. And like, she's weeping through this hole, like she's laying down and like crying. She's like, it's so beautiful. It's like everything is made out of light and the human beings are just pure love and we communicate telepathically. And I was weeping because I was like, whoa, like this is my soul is like we know each other, you know, this is like what I think that's where I came from too, because it feels so good. And then she's like, I don't want to come back. And I said, oh my goodness, I don't want her to die on the table as I'm practicing at her. I'm sure like her husband wouldn't. Sorry. The reason she didn't like money is because she believed that the czar and her got killed is because they had money, you know? So there was like the belief that we had to release. We held on to the lesson, the forgiveness, all this entire process. And she's in this, like in this light world, a beautiful place, and doesn't want to come back to the body. And then the question, I said, okay, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm just going to listen to my intuition. What can I ask her that will be really of service to her and maybe bring her back? You know, my intention was to help her come back. And I said, well, ask them, is there a guide next to you? And she says, yes. I said, maybe ask them, why did you choose to come here? And she says, well, okay, I'll ask them. And then she says, there's this white being, light being, and it's saying to me, you came, you volunteered, despite the mind not wanting to, your soul volunteered to anchor in the light. And she was a being of light, you know? So that was the anchoring in the light. And like, that was like the first soul message. It's like, of course, like a lot of people, they call us, you know, star seeds, that we sort of came from these other planets and we came here to anchor in a higher vibration for planet Earth, that because we're all interconnected, this serves the entire humanity. So, but on the other hand, there's a recent thing that I came across and I shared it in our group, in our Telegram group, that's a work of Ola Volne, who's done some digging in to the Gnostic studies and the Hermetics. And she talks about the firmament, which appears in the Bible too, that somehow like the Anunnaki, the beings from the sky came in. And I'm not sure exactly still why they were so disconnected from the unity consciousness that they wanted to control us, you know? And then that somehow they manipulated the heavens and the earth, and the moon was placed for mental control, and that somehow astrology is part of that language, even the numerology. But she is an astrologer herself and believes that it's good to know that language of the matrix, you know, and so that, but not be controlled by it, you know, not be controlled by any definitions of human design or whatever it is. It's helpful, even gene keys helpful, but doesn't, anything that's limiting you, it's telling you you can't do something, is just not quite completely true, because we are limitless. But it's, you know, the past life. Okay, so she was saying that the whole loop of reincarnation. No, I don't think it was her actually. It was connected to this work, but it was about, and it really resonated with my soul. It's like that we are sort of tricked. That when we are in the moment of death and we ascend, we are like attracted to this light, which I didn't experience in my near-death experience, and I was very disappointed. But my intention was really to come back for my son. He was 3 years old. And, you know, that we, like, but most near-death experience talk about this white light, and that this is also part of the system, the matrix that traps us in the loop of reincarnation, that we're not really meant to like continuously experience pain and suffering. That none of that, like, and playing these roles of like, you know, perpetrator, rescuer, and, you know, and like, and victim, you know, and so in a way, I love what's come, like the new way of thinking is that like everything is happening now, and it is you know, shamanism and even internal family system does this. He doesn't, you know, Dr. Schwartz doesn't talk about soul retrieval, but it is soul retrieval of some of the traumatic lifetimes that happened, that you can like forgive and let go, retrieve the soul into the present moment, so there's no fragmentation, and then it just becomes one. So I think this and this is true simultaneously, and unless there's a past life that's calling you that feels like there's something trying to be resolved, you know, forgiven, resolved, or there's a lesson, there's a part of you that reactivates through continuous repetition, you might not need to dig in the past, might not be relevant, right? Or like but there are times that you can just, even with intention, retrieve the gifts from the past lives and future lives, you know, you can retrieve your soul fragments, you know, you can receive whatever was broken, because what's been interesting through all these past life regressions that I've done with people was that the soul was fragmented. It somehow came back with like a little bit of trauma from the past. Like there were still like the personality traits would continue with like the fear of money because of the belief, the person's belief before death that they killed us because of money. Right? Or mine, indigestible world, and seeing them as other, you know, and that state as other, and somehow it didn't clear itself. But maybe I didn't really exit the firmament, the entrapment that has been placed upon it. But then who are these Anunnakis, and why is there the other, you know? So it's like, I think it's ultimately our shadow self that it can be integrated in the now. And some of these parts can lead you back to a past life through, you know, sort of like when you're listening, what is the root of something that you can't quite explain, and you do it over and you wish you didn't do it this way, or there's this belief that just, or like some fears, for example, phobias, you know, people have these claustrophobias. This is how there's a book called, not Many Lives, Many Masters, but there's The Journey of Souls. And that's Michael Newton. He's no longer alive. I studied with his student, actually, because I couldn't find him, and then I found out he was dead. But he was a neurologist who had these cases of clients who would come to him with these really bizarre phobias, and like agoraphobia, where people would be stuck in their apartments and they never left, and no one figured like why would they be like, nothing traumatic happened in this life to explain why this would be happening. And he would take them into the theta state and go back to the source. And then all of a sudden, like a lot of them, like for example, were sailors that went into the sea and never came back. So there was this whole thing where that needed to be seen, processed, you know, cried, felt, experienced the grief, all of it, forgiven, and say, you know, that was then, this is now, you're no longer, you know, here in that state. This doesn't have to be a frozen, looping, repetitive pattern in your system. You can let that go and bring in the feeling of safety and protection, and you know, asking the guides, like, did I come here to die again? A lot of the star seeds, I've noticed that also they had the persecution mania. You know, if we die, like some people, so many of the past lives were like witches, women were burned, you know, because they knew herbs and they knew some, they were intuitive and they could guide people. So a lot of the people who have done this kind of work were persecuted. And then there's this whole thing, I can't speak my truth. I can't talk about things openly because I'm going to be eliminated, right? So when you go to the root of it, it can appear as a past life. It probably is. You again process the trauma, let it go, reframe it for yourself. And I didn't, like, this life is different. None of us came here to be persecuted unless we vibrationally hold that thought or that experience within our system, because that's the law of attraction. You know, it always works whether we know it or not. It's always working. So if we clear that up and we reclaim, like, remember who we are. We are divine beings, soul first, body embodied, and we are co-creators with source and you know, the entire consciousness. We are consciousness, but we're these specks of consciousness that co-create with the whole field of consciousness. We can then start structuring our lives in the most optimal way. Sometimes some souls, I feel like, are very new, and they, especially the younger ones now that are being born, they came here without any karma, without any, like, they are like the newest babies. I'm noticing they're just like pure consciousness, almost like, I think they call them crystalline children, because they were like indigo children, and they were, I forgot, there's like something, rainbow kids, and then crystalline. Those are the ones that, like, they have no past lives and everything is happening now. And it's all because it's almost like now it's time. Like, I feel like my generation came here to, like, this, like, expose the system, expose the system, say, this is not part of, like, that's not what we want. This is not what we like. And then, like, now the children, the newest children that are being born, they don't need to do anything. They just need to be consciousness, like human beings, not human doings, human beings, but doing from inspired action, you know, just vibrationally, without a certain sort of, like, when I do and I produce and I, that's how I'm useful. I'm useful because I am. I exist, you know. So I'm sorry, there's more to this answer that you've asked. But I think there, unless it's calling you, unless there's like a repetitive thing, I wouldn't necessarily go digging for it, you know, but if it's like something that keeps on surfacing and you, oh, oopsie. Luna. Where do we go? Oh, there you are. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, where did I lost you. Now I can't.
Oh, But I didn't lose you, so I heard everything.
Oh, you heard everything. Okay, great. I don't. Oh, yes. Yes, you are. Okay, I can see you now. It's sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. I heard everything in. Everything's fine. I'm so sorry. Our washing machine is going crazy. It sounds like.
I don't hear it.
Explosion. Oh, that's good. Nice. Yeah. So I have, of course, I've been on your website and everything and several times, I guess. And there's one thing that always stuck somehow with me, that you wrote, you're not here to survive. You're here to create, feel, become, and so on and so on and so on. And I felt like I love that because I was born with the sense of survival. I always had my back packed. In my bed as a child, like, I don't know, maybe between the age of 5 and 10, 11, I remember this period in my life. I was a prepper. I was a survivor. I was like, dude, this time I'm ready. I'm still a prepper, but it's better. Became yeah. better with time. So I really resonate with the thing you said that some people are just born with their past life traumas of persecution, because I always felt like that as a child. They are coming to get me, like 100%. And my parents were always like, she's so weird. They sent me to a therapist and she told them that I'm perfectly fine, that I'm way too intelligent to be with normal people. And I was like, now you get it. My parents didn't believe that as well. So they came back to, okay, she's retarded. They told me, especially my mom, she told me several times, she thinks I'm completely retarded. There is something wrong with me. But I knew it wasn't true because I could see how she acted with other beings. Yeah. And how I felt about, especially animals. Like, I had a heart and a soul, and I felt like my mom has not such a big heart somehow. So I was on the good side, you know. I could always differentiate between what she's saying, what I'm feeling. So you're not here to survive. Of course not, because we all gonna die, first of all. And the second part is, I was so relieved to read that sentence. You cannot imagine, because I was like, she is right. I'm not here to survive. I will die anyway. But in the meantime, I can do something fun. How about that?
Yeah.
It really, I don't know, I reached out to you a couple of, I think, weeks ago, I think. And this sentence was in my head, you're not here to survive. You're not. And something inside of me just sat down and was like, okay, that's fine. That's really fine. It healed something. You healed something in me that you didn't broke. That's very nice of you. And I'm somehow I really liked that. And I tried, I really tried to raise my child in the sense of creation is coming from within you, and in alignment with your soul, you create whatever you feel like. There is no good or bad creation, whatever so, that is. And I really try to, I don't know if he's picking up on it. Right now he's not creating anything.
But that's that like cool the birthing dude. Period, so, you know? He's in a state of being, mm-hmm. right? There's that sort of he's being. And
true.
And that is as productive as not like actual, more productive than doing, because vibrationally is so much, there's so much happening. And when the inspiration comes, he creates, you know, he'll create in his own time. That's the thing. It's like my mind wants to see some sort of, you know, we're so used to producing. And because I think we were just sort of a slave race, you know, for so many years and generations and looped into this thing. Now AI is coming. We're not as needed. But I do think that eventually the higher vibration will eliminate the beings who are disconnected, or they will reconnect back to source because there won't be any other option, and it will stop controlling humanity. But it's the surviving to thriving, ultimately thrive and create and be. I felt like my soul, when I meditated, my soul said, but you know, you can't learn unless you suffer. And then it said, wait a minute, where did I get this belief from? Like, that's not a, I can learn as much and more from happiness than I can from suffering. And that was such a like poof, like it was like a belief that was glued upon me that just broke away. And it's like, no, my goodness. But it's so interesting because it's like we're so used to efforting and struggling and doing and, you know, and like producing, and like it's like, you know, I've recently kind of been forced into the state of beingness, and my mind honestly had such a trouble with that because I was always such a productive person, quote unquote, like I would like do so much, and then I couldn't. I was like someone just pulled off that switch and said, no, you like the interplay of doing and being, but now you're just gonna be, whether you like it, whether your mind likes it or not, you're just gonna be unplugged and just present and just, you know, and it's just my mind's like, you're just spacing out, there's so much you can do for this world. And then I heard, when I ask, what am I here to do? Is there anything else I need to do? I really want to do more for humanity. I want to do it on a big scale. So the scale shifts and we can shift into that consciousness, the heaven on earth. You know, I'm like, come on, let's do this quickly. And all it says is like, anchor in unconditional love and be aligned with your soul. Create only from that if you want to create, but love, be in love. Those are the two things. Alignment. So it's like recently I heard alignment, being and loving and creation from that space. So this is, you know, sorry, this like past weekend I attended this really cool workshop. This lady, she meditated since she was 5. And at some point, I think she was 15, she listened to the news and she was traumatized. She needed to go to therapy. And then she hasn't watched the news ever since. And she's in her 70s and like doing like these soul portraits, you know. So she did this amazing workshop where she led us to this meditation when we went past the angels and like into pure consciousness, light. And then we asked, what is the purpose of our existence? And it just said the same thing. It's like, you just be. And then, you know, we all shared and everyone's like, we're getting the same messages and their minds are still adjusting to this. Like, there's no need to do anything unless you're like, it's so excited and you can't help yourself that you create. And that's the only way you should be doing something, inspired action, not action for the sake of action, but inspired, like in spirit, inspired action. So yeah, my mind is, you know, it's funny how addicted it is to doing.
Oh yeah. Nice. I could talk for hours honest. And with everything you everything you say, there's something I want to know more about, this and that and this and that. So it's never ending. I will show you my notes.
Yeah,
it's never ending, and love it. So really, it resonates like, so much with me.
Yeah, because you are that. You have that. It's within you. You know, that's why it resonates. Like all of that stuff is like a reminder. Anytime anything resonates, it's not because it's like, yeah, we others can inspire others, but it's resonating because it's your soul is that. You know, it's like yay. Like when you feel that resonance. It's that soul path. That's like the little thing that you can also recognize what the soul is. It's a reminder. It's just a reminder of what already exists within you. Yeah. So it's you. Well, thank you for like being so remarkable. Sorry, go ahead.
No, thank you. I'm sorry. Yesterday I read a book about, it was Shadow Work by a dude I'm always reading. Wait a second, forgot his name. Charlie Morley, Jung? Because he's into lucid dreaming. And Charlie Morley. And he's really, I love his lucid workbooks. It's incredible what he's gathering in terms of information and everything. It's crazy. So now he has a book about shadow work and stuff. And I'm no stranger to shadow work. I love my shadow because it's huge. But I learned golden shadow is a thing. And this is exactly what you just said, that the inspiring things that you see in others and that really resonate, that is your golden shadow that you didn't integrate yet. So I'm going to integrate them.
Yes.
That is huge. I love
yes,
it.
Because that's such a good point. It's like we project onto others, we project a negative shadow sometimes, we project a lot of positive shadow to others. And we always think somehow like someone is doing this. And it's the reason we're resonating and the reason we're admiring is because that is within us, you know, and it's just being shown like the potential. You can do this and more, like whatever. It's not about competition, but you can do this and like, and you know this and you can take it in your own way and make it yours, you know, because it's just where we're all walking each other home. You know, I feel like it's like everyone's way, yes. Like it resonates. It's just a reminder of like, that's home. Yeah. It's amazing what life is, how amazing life is.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Really. Monica, thank you so, so much for this. Thank you. Really, that was one of the most intense recordings I ever had.
Oh.
Incredible. Thank you so, so much. Very valuable. I hope everyone who's listening to it feels the same way, or at least, I don't know, half, if you just feel 10% of how I feel, like, blessed. No, really, thank you so, so much. And I would be super happy to invite you once or twice, third time on my podcast, because I really feel that you understand what I want to talk about, like soul-led education. This is the term that will stick with me for the next couple of months. I really appreciate everything you shared with me and everyone who's listening. Really, yeah. Really, from I don't know where, very deep. Thank you, really.
Well, thank you for being and the beautiful embodiment of this for your, you know, for your child and for like for humanity, because this is what you do is benefiting us all. Like I feel like when we are soul led, we really are of service to all, you know, and we actively give others the permission to do the same. And I think that's like really imagine like we add that flavor's infused into Bitcoin, because there's a lot of intellect, but there's a lot of soul too, and like and really emphasized even more. And just it'll just be a blessing. Like I just can't wait for all of us to dance around the fire and celebrate we're heaven on earth.
Oh yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please support my work. Check the podcast description for the details and have a wonderful rest of your day.